when this was presented to me and the concept was presented to me, I really got quite excited and hype about the idea of like being able to like have an excuse to bring a bunch of women artists together.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Sage Takes Time. It's not a cooking show, but we're hoping it nourishes your soul. I'm Elisa.
And I'm Amira.
As the founders of Womina, we wanted to open up a space for conversation with our community where we can speak directly about our perspectives around topical issues that we feel affect women in and from the Arab world.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
We're
Hi.
On the Sage Takes Time set mm-hmm. with Monica Abadir,
hello,
who
Hi.
Is our Monica. Art director for the podcast.
Yeah, she made this world come to life, this beautiful living room set that yeah. I wish I lived in.
Me too.
For real, for real.
We have kind of lived in it for a few days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, wait, are we allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's been a few days of filming, and yeah. now we want mm. just to take this home with us. But Monica, tell us first mm. who you are and what you do.
My name is Monica. Monica Ra'fat Abadir. My dad would be upset if I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I feel that. Yeah. I'm a creative producer and director, and I also do art direction and set design.
What kind of things do you usually work on?
So for the most part, I do culture stories and like memory work, and that's really what I really, really enjoy doing.
Ooh, what's memory work?
Quite a bit of storytelling, but storytelling from a place of trauma and also so and how memory functions in that. And so I wish I did more of it now, but I used to do a lot of work in terms of recollection, how recollection functions in storytelling and how that changes over time and how like the truth often doesn't matter so much as the impact. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's a lot of the work that I used to do and I can try to do in other ways, which I do find in art direction set design quite often.
So when did you move to Cairo?
So I was born and raised in Toronto, and I moved to Cairo 5 years ago on accident. Like, I didn't come here with a bag and my stuff. I came here thinking I was going to be here for 2 weeks. Yeah. I had a small, like, carry-on, and I thought I was going to be back.
Been there.
Yeah. I was, like, in PhD time. I was in a long-term relationship. I had no, there was no, yeah, rhyme or reason for me to be here other than it just felt right.
What do you think made you stay?
I get this question a lot also because I think, I'm sure you guys have heard this too, or like, yeah. like people are like, what? Like when you have the option to not be yeah. here and the privilege of being able to travel or be wherever based on like passport status, I think that I never really have an answer. Like it's quite difficult. But I think there's something about Egypt and like Cairo often specifically has made me feel in the past that I'm in like the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And even if it's like the most chaotic moment, I decided to come to a place that felt more chaotic than my life, and it just worked.
Wow, that's actually a really good way.
Yeah.
I relate to that yeah. a lot.
Yeah, it gave me perspective, that's for sure.
Were you able to enter that field quickly? Mm-hmm. Like, is that what you were also doing before, or was art direction new for you?
No, so I was in the academic space and almost entirely right before I moved to Egypt, but prior to that, I had worked in film before in mostly set production. So I had done quite a bit of that. But I don't find that supported me in my time here. Really, it really was a whole new education when I came here of how to function, because you end up working with people from 100 million different backgrounds who are very different than you. I learned Arabic in the streets. Like, I didn't speak a lick of Arabic when I moved. And now I work with predominantly people who only speak Arabic. And so that was also a shift. And also, I mean, and like, obviously for this set, actually something that's very important to me is working with people who are on the ground, who have lived here, who have grown up here, who have done their education here, who create based on how their lives have kind of unraveled here.
Yeah.
And so it was really important for me to kind of marinate for a moment, actually. And I think at the time I needed to marinate anyway, but also for my work to feel meaningful or relevant in any way, I think I needed like maybe a year or two in the beginning to marinate.
I find at least that it takes like 2 to 3 years to like yeah. really settle in. Once you make the decision to move to yeah. particularly Cairo, mm-hmm. it takes a little bit of time to like anchor yourself and find yeah. your community and really feel like you know what's
like I'm
up.
Still finding that, yeah. When you move to a place, I think, especially when you're in a place that's maybe a bit more unstable or you're not doing well physically or mentally, I think you end up like absorbing any and all of the love that you can find in any place. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up engaging and intaking and digesting all of these like people and places and events and da-da-da that I thought that I needed to create a community. And then it took me about 2 years to take a step back and say like, okay, do all of these things and people align with the values and the value system that I want mm-hmm. to actually have in my life? No. And so I think I had to kind of reset, and then midway through kind of almost feel like I'm not no longer in survival mode. I think that this is an intention mode. And so, yeah.
Curate. You're then in curating mode, right? At first you're in like accumulating and learning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a very similar experience when I first was coming to Egypt, and then it took a while after absorbing as much as I could mm-hmm. to really then curate the people, the energies, the experiences that I wanted to have. Mm-hmm. And when we first were conceptualizing what this podcast was going to be, what this set could look like, I don't even think that I properly communicated it. But in my brain, I wanted everything in the frame to be as truthful to the creatives and the people of this region as possible. And that's literally what you brought to the table. Like, you curated from all of the abundance of talent that there is here, some of the most beautiful and aligned and like powerful energetic like pieces. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about the choices that you made that we see around us.
Yeah.
When this was presented to me and the concept was presented to me, I really got quite excited and hype about the idea of like being able to like have an excuse to bring a bunch of women artists together. And it was really, really nice. And also, just for your knowledge and for people listening, like, people jumped at this. Like, there was no, like, artists really, truly were like, absolutely, this is a place where I'd want my work represented. And yes, it's lovely to have your work exhibited, but it's not quite commonplace to say like, yes, sure, like, without even really asking who else was involved. Because, and that's quite uncommon. And so that also attributes to the powerful work that you, the both, like, you and the rest of the team have been able to accomplish in the region.
Thank you. That means a lot to us. Yeah.
Trust me, like, I work with a lot of artists, and I was quite surprised, like, at the, not surprised, but I was like, oh my God, really? Okay, perfect. Yeah. Amazing. I'll pick it up tomorrow. Like, it was very like,
we have that too. Yeah. We're like, oh my God, really? Like, that's because you're in our space, and sometimes you feel like, I don't know, you're doing things for the community, but you're not, there aren't a lot of avenues for it to feed back to us. And so in these moments when we are an independent company, we don't have the budgets that big players have, and for people to be willing to collaborate and support, especially for something that's like so meaningful, where these conversations need to be had, need to be shared. And it's a perk to have a nice set, you know, but to be able to surround ourselves with this energy as we talk about these subjects. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like each piece is like a little hand that's helping to like hold us as we're doing it.
When our director, like Rydma, was telling us, she was communicating more with you and coordinating and everything. And she was coming back with names of potential artists that were going to like let us use their things and their furniture and their work. And I also was like, really? They're going to just give it to us? Like, this person, like, I know them and I know their work. And it's like, they're just going to let us have it on set. And it felt so, it made it feel a lot more homey, because we wanted like a homey, intimate, warm vibe. And it really brought that element to it, because these are things I would love to have in my home. Mm-hmm. Who are these amazing artists?
So this one is Amuna Ketib. It's a digital illustration, as well as the acrylic on my left here.
This one.
Yeah. This piece is one of her older pieces, and it's based on a quote by Sabah Khodir that says, everyone wants to touch a woman, but everyone wants an untouched woman. And then that is from a collection that was called Confinement. These two pieces are Rina Hani, who is an Egyptian multidisciplinary artist. She's incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. They're from a series called Forbidden Fruit. A huge chunk of her work specifically does a lot of gender subversion. Mona Ketib also is someone who speaks about feminist praxis a lot in her work. These two, the two napkin pieces, it's actually called Napkin 1 and 2, are archival pieces, as well as the center and the top are all Fatma Aboudoma. This is mixed media work with acrylic paint on recycled paper, and then the acrylic piece on top. She's also an Egyptian artist.
For me personally, I own a couple of Fatma Aboudoma pieces. I really love her work, her coloring and her representation of women in different shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. And her, she does collage work as well, which is like the napkin work is more of her collage style. And it's very distinct from her painting style, which I love that she has like both sides.
Definitely. Yeah. Also because her painting style is very like quintessential Fatma. Like you look at a painting and you know right away it's her, which I think is one of the successes as an artist. I think when you can see something and you know who it is, she's definitely achieved that. Mm-hmm. And she's exhibited all over the world internationally. Yeah. And she's an absolutely incredible person. And then the two pieces on the top and bottom are Salma Fawail or Shop Kalma, very old print pieces that she used to do under Shop Kalma. And she's also an Egyptian art director, set designer, photographer who is quite talented. Salma's extremely generous with her work and has been a huge contributor to this set, definitely. I'm really grateful for her.
I love the textile.
Yes, like, so that's...
I'm obsessed.
This is Ale Edesh. She's very young. She's born in 1999. She's an Egyptian-Palestinian artist. She's absolutely incredible, quite quirky, and has a psychedelic vibe to her work, which I really like. And then everything that she works with is like recycled materials, and she does a lot of collage work regardless. She also has a jewelry line that's really, really gorgeous. She makes really beautiful earrings. Mm. And she's actually made this piece, the eye piece, specifically for this set. And so... she made that just for this set. Yes.
No way!
And she was really, really excited to be
there. Did I not tell you we had to have at least one eye for protection of some kind?
That is it. That is it. And actually, I mean, that's interesting that you say that.
I didn't tell you that.
No.
We were talking about
it. The reason I chose Ale to be a part of it is because she had previously, and it hasn't come out yet, but it will, and I'm excited for everyone to see it, but she had made a lot of these small eye piece works. I think she made like 99 or something like that for a different project that's coming out. I loved them. And I was like, oh my God, who is this artist? Who is she? Where can I find her? And like the moment I got in touch, she sent me like a 5-minute voice note saying like, absolutely, I'm in. Like, I love them. I'm in. And again, like just a testament to like, honestly, the work, I know like this is no, but I'm saying this.
Thank you.
Honestly, it's like the work that you've put in over the past decade really shows when you approach people of extremely high caliber in terms of their work and they have no qualms or hesitations in collaborating, and that is like quite tremendous.
Okay, so, you're making me cry. Actually, I'm getting like
I'll continue.
Emotional.
So these are lovely pieces. So these guys, these cushions, and these guys that are really gorgeous and have been made from heritage fabric by the brand Amina K in collaboration with Moderna Cabani and Eclego Shop. You know, I felt like the fabrics and the way that they use them was really, really lovely and worked with this vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the details on like, the handles.
They're really beautifully made.
Also, Amina K is a legend. I was absolutely shocked. I mean, all of these women are powerhouses, but Amina K is, she was one of like the very early local fashion designers that started doing specific kind of work, like honoring the textures and the textiles of Egypt.
Yeah.
And she still continues to do very important work. But honestly, when I saw her name on the list, I was like,
Everything else is from my own studio collection and other archive pieces that I've been able to have over time. And then, of course, your books. That are very important.
I was just
important.
Thinking, Amir and I have our Fayoum teacups that mean a lot to us that we brought with us.
We bought together also Fayoum. And we each have a few of the different colored ones.
And your teapot.
And that my teapot, this teapot has appeared in a lot of Womina content. I love the blue of it, and it's just a traditional teapot, which I use every day at home. But I have an alternative, so we're not without tea for this week.
We were concerned for a moment.
Yeah, it's one of the things that also just looks very like Masri. But you've obviously, the rest is your collection, so you've obviously amassed an amazing collection of trinkets and vases and
plants.
Also the dried flowers is like from my favorite florist in Zemelik, and I love them so much, and so I was happy to bring those apart. And of course the sage,
which you brought from her garden.
There are a couple pieces that Salma Fawail or Shop Kalma has also contributed to the set, including the coffee table, but the mass majority of pieces are from my collection, most of which have been like secondhand, have been purchased here in Cairo or around Egypt. So these are all things that have come from here or from like travels in the region. And
I couldn't have dreamt of a better set. And I've always, I'm like obsessed also with set design, with creating spaces and designing spaces that foster a certain energy. And I literally like feel that this is such a blessing to have you, and to have you so aligned from like an intuitive level to bring so many of these wonderful women together and the artworks that they bring. I just feel super like touched and honored.
Yeah, I obviously want to like thank you very much and thank the artists that sent us their work, and we've had it for like about a week now, so it's been quite some time also, which we're really, really grateful for. And we're filming in a studio, everyone.
Yeah.
But it looks like a home, and whenever we walk into this room, my energy at least like shifts completely to like, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that sterile like studio. We don't usually film things, our content in studio spaces.
Nice.
Even when we've done like documentaries or like the short narrative film, like we were always in personal spaces, and we prefer that because we don't want it to feel cold and like uncomfortable.
Definitely.
But this definitely transformed the energy around just walking in every single day, made it much, much easier.
So glad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing me on.
Follow Monica
yes.
and her work. Yeah. She's a beautiful art thank director.
You. We'll list all of the artists and Monica in the caption. So feel free to give them a follow and support them. Support your local artists.
Thank you.
Important.
We love you.
This has been Sage Takes Time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sage Takes Time.
We'd like to thank our team behind the scenes who helped us bring this to life. Our director, Rithma Ikenayeke, production manager, Hadi Ghaffar, videographer, Ayel Husseini, editor, Rowan Mselhi, lighting, Fadi Habashi, and Andrew Habib, title design by Magdi Hussein and Noor Al-Zayed. We executive produced this podcast, and our beautiful set was brought to life by art director, Monica Abadir, with the help of set assistant, Merit Spence.
We would also like to thank all the artists who generously loaned us their inspiring work and made the set feel like home. Mona Al-Katib, Fatma Abuduma, Ala Aida, Rina Haini, Salma Al-Fawel, and brand collaboration Moog, a collab between Amina K, Iklego Shop, Moderna Kabeni, and our location partners Dot House Studio.
The incredible music was created for us by the amazing artist Little G Fresh. A new episode of Sage Takes Time drops every week. And for those of you that subscribe over on Apple Podcasts, you're going to not only get those episodes a week earlier than everybody else, but you're also going to get some special bonus content that we create.
This podcast is produced by Wamina, a media company spotlighting stories of Arab women with a feminist lens. If you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends.
Make sure to follow @Wamina on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel for more.